Welcome to the All-Star Missions Podcast. My name is Peggy Nunley, and I'm the president of All-Star Missions. And I am so excited that you are here today. All-Star is a discipleship ministry, and we specialize in everything discipleship and everything missions. We love doing Jesus ministry in every nation, tribe, and tongue. And my prayer today is that you are blessed by today's discussion. Welcome to today's podcast. We are going to be talking about preparing to go in a COVID-19 world. Everybody knows that right now that we are in a season of pandemic around the world, and missions seemingly looks like it's come to a halt internationally. But what we know is that the Great Commission, it never comes to a halt. And so today I'm excited to have Audrey Pettijohn with me. And so welcome, Audrey.
Hi, thanks, Peggy.
And so Audrey is on staff with All-Star Missions, and one thing that Audrey has been doing is she has been preparing to go. But when the pandemic hit and missionaries from around the world were being called back home to the United States to furlough to kind of wait out the pandemic, Audrey was delayed in going. And so we're going to talk a little bit about what is it like right now in a time of COVID-19 and you are preparing to go to the mission field. What does that look like? And so, Audrey, I'm going to start with you today and just asking, can you share with us a little bit about how you came to know Jesus?
I would love to. So, Peggy, have you ever come home after a really long day and you walk into your house and there's a room that's just like super messy?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's kind of what my life was like before I knew Jesus. I grew up in what some would call a culturally Christian home, where we would pray before meals and I might visit a church on Easter or Christmas. But I actually had no idea who Jesus really was or what he had really done for me personally. And I began to go to church when friends invited me in middle school and thought I knew Jesus. But it turns out that nothing that I tried to fill a void that I felt was actually getting me out of my mess. Nothing was actually working. Not until one night when I was 17, I cried out to God in desperation. And I said, if you're really here, I need you to show up. And I opened my Bible to a completely random passage, which is not what I would suggest to any of our listeners to do for studying. But he knows the cries of our heart, and he is always faithful to meet with us. So I opened up to Psalm 27, and I would love to encourage each of you to read it. But when I did, I realized that God was really there, that he was really who he claimed to be. And he was the light all around me when all that I knew was darkness. I finally felt that security and belonging that I had been searching for all along. So I just asked him to teach me his ways and to help me follow him for the rest of my life.
Audrey, that's beautiful. And it's so good to hear your story, your journey of how you came to know Jesus. And it seems to me, just knowing you, that you want to take that story and you want to take it around the world, is that you want others to know the same hope, the same life, the same fulfillment that you have found in Christ.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this then. So, you came to me over a year ago, and you began to share with me after a trip that we had gone on, or maybe actually while we were in Africa, that God was prompting your heart not just to come back on another, what we would consider shorter-term trip, but you really want to take a step of obedience, and you wanted to go live on the field at least for 12 months, but mm-hmm. You're kind of looking for a little bit longer than that, right?
I would love to.
And so we talked about it, and we said, okay, well, we're going to start there, right. and then we're going to kind of launch out. But if you can just share with those that are listening, when did you know that God was calling you to go to West Africa? What was it that transpired in your life, or what circumstances did God really use to confirm that he was calling you, not just to go on a week trip or a 2-week trip or even a month trip, but to say, you know, Jesus, I'll commit 12 months and longer to you?
Yeah. So that journey actually begins over 10 years ago. And like you said, I know that I've got to go and I've got to live in some place for some time. Well, ever since I came to know Jesus, like I just talked about, I've been on fire. And it was less than a year after that, I actually happened to be at a camp called False Creek. And the theme that year was called Sent. And it was all based on John 17 and sending us out into the world just as Jesus came into the world to tell us about the hope through the gospel. And so I knew at that time that I was called to full-time missions and ministry. And I did. I walked the aisle and I prayed the prayer, but I came out of the tabernacle, as they call it, and I just thought, I have no idea what this looks like. So I did the only thing I knew to do, and I asked Jesus to help me. I prayed.
That's always a good prayer to pray.
Right. And I actually felt led to go to the globe. It's this rotating globe on water. If you've been there, you know. And I put my hand, and I said, okay, when I open my eyes, I know that that's where you're calling me. And it seems super spiritual, and it is. But I opened my eyes, and my hand was on West Africa.
Wow.
True story.
Yeah. So when did that story connect with you actually going to West Africa, or maybe even going to Africa for the first time?
Yeah. The next year, I did have an opportunity to go to Ethiopia, which is in Africa, for a month. And I loved it, but it was another 9 years before I would be able to go again.
Wow. Well, that's a long time in the waiting, right?
It's a long time waiting, but God's been so faithful through it. Flash forward about 9 years, I'm on a medical trip with AllStar in the Middle East, and I hear about a country called Gambia, and I knew I had to go. And it was actually there, you said something that I will never forget. It's probably the second day of the trip, and you're just checking in with everybody, asking how we're doing, and I look at you and I said, do I have to go home? You said, well, yes, but if you ever wanted to come back, I know where you could stay. And that started actually, my mind actually started thinking about that being a reality.
Okay. So there you are, you're in West Africa, and you finally started thinking, okay, you know, is God taking you back to the globe at False Creek at that point?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking, could this be it?
Okay. So then what happened after that?
So then I came home, and reverse culture shock is very real, but this time it just wasn't going away. And the only thing that I did know, I didn't know how, I didn't know when, I did know where, but what I really, really knew was that I couldn't not go. I couldn't stay.
Okay. And so you came home, did you just went back to your job, you just kind of, you know, was carrying around this burden inside of knowing, I believe that God's calling me to West Africa. I know this is supposed to happen. But did it make a lot of sense?
No.
So what then did God speak to you, or how did he move you from that place of you feel like he has spoken this to you and it's moving kind of beyond just emotionally, I feel this, to I really know that Jesus is saying that I'm going to have to make some intentional life changes in order to go where he's called me to go.
So what's the exact question? I'm sorry.
So what was the process then of once you came home that you knew that you had to take some intentional steps of moving from the emotion of that you felt called to making it a reality that Jesus is calling me, so what do I do next?
Yeah, well, I took a look at the word, and I said, is this biblical for me to go? I started having conversations with people like you and getting godly counsel, asking you whether you would send me in the church, whether they would receive me, just the logistical part of things. Mm-hmm. And then I started taking action plan steps in my life to make that a possibility, to free myself up from obligations here so okay. that I could be free to go there.
Okay. And so then what happened next?
So I started fundraising, and God provided. It was pretty crazy.
That is crazy. You began sharing your vision with people, and you had your church's support. Mm-hmm. You had AllStar support. Mm-hmm. You had surrounded yourself, I believe, with people that could hold you accountable, mm-hmm. people that could care for you while you were on the field. And logistically, everything was set up for you to go, even down to the point of you buying a ticket, right?
That's right. I had my ticket.
So you are ready. You've been spiritually preparing. You've been getting out of debt, you know, getting rid of things that kind of hold you back. And you began support raising, and you're ready to go. And then what happens?
And then COVID.
COVID. That seems to be the theme of all of 2020, is that we were doing this and then COVID.
Right.
So here you are. I mean, that's a tough position, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty tough.
So tell me about some of those first emotions that you felt when you realized that what was happening with COVID-19 wasn't going to be short-lived.
Yeah, that was the most difficult, was coming to terms with this isn't just going to be a week. This isn't just going to be a couple weeks. Like, it might actually be the long term. And just to be honest with you, I had emotional responses in the beginning. I started by asking a lot of questions, a lot of what if type questions, if you will. Like, what if I heard God wrong? What if I'd been preparing for this and that's not really what his will was for me? What if God doesn't come through in my waiting? What does life look like in the waiting? All of those kinds of things.
Which I think are really valid questions, right?
Right.
Is that when you come to a place where you are being faithful and you're being obedient, you've made yourself available. And I mean, you have raised up thousands of dollars to go live in another country. People have signed on to support you monthly and to be a part. And then all of a sudden, you can't move, you can't leave, and you can't go. And so, you know, one thing I want to share with you is that, you know, maybe you're listening today and you hear some of the things that kind of went through Audrey's mind, and maybe you resonate with that. Mm-hmm. I think for a lot of us, I think about even for me here at All Star, you know, we had teams planned to go all over the world in the summer.
Right.
And in a matter of weeks, we realized that I don't think anybody's going anywhere this summer mm-hmm. outside of the country. Mm-hmm. That COVID-19 had literally, for the first time, I believe, in the history of America, we saw travel bans where all of a sudden, you know, we kind of live spoiled as Americans. You know, we have a passport that will go to almost any nation of the world. And for the first time in history, they were saying that Americans could not come. Really, that no one could enter. Airports were closing. Travel bans were being put into place. And nations literally around the world overnight, the most open nations of the world, became closed nations mm-hmm. to going and taking the gospel to them. And so, you know, just to kind of piggyback off a little bit of what you shared, you know, I felt some of those same things. Well, did I miss God on the nations that we were supposed to go to? You know, we've mobilized all these students, they've support raised, they're ready to go. But now, all of a sudden, we're confronted with this obstacle that looks like we're not going to be able to overcome it. Mm-hmm. However, we serve a really big God, don't we?
We sure do.
And so, Audrey, can you share with me a little bit when you came to that place of when you realized, okay, this isn't going away. I'm not going to be the air ticket that I bought. I'm going to have to change the dates. I'm going to have to push it back out. I'm going to be here for a while. And I think it probably took a few months for all of us to realize, you know, probably, you know, we were 2-3 months in that it seemed like the whole mission community realized, you know what, things are going to look a lot different this year. Mm-hmm. And so how did you then address the waiting? You know, what was the hardest part now that you had all the funds, you had the call, you had the support, but now you couldn't go? Mm-hmm. What was the hardest part at that point for you?
The hardest part, excuse me, at that point was that my life feels constantly unsettled. I don't know what to expect, what to predict, how to plan. Because it's totally unknown, the timing.
And so what has God began to teach you in the waiting?
Yeah, he's come through every single time. Even though it can feel so unsteady, I know that I'm ultimately anchored in him. Like he's still been so good through all of it. He's still worthy of my praise. And I know that he's always doing something in the backdrop that is way better than what I can even imagine right now.
No, I attest to that in the waiting is often when we see God do some of the deepest works inside of us. Right. You know, the Bible says in the book of James that, you know, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces endurance. Then it says, let endurance have its perfect work so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And I think often we set, you know, we kind of set our course, we make our plans. And we know in Proverbs 16:9, it says, you know, that, right. that a man makes his plans, but the Lord does what?
Establishes his steps.
He establishes his steps. And so we know that even the greatest plans that we make, that it's the purpose of the Lord that's going to stand. And I think often in our Christian walk, we get an idea about where we're supposed to be or what we're supposed to do. And, you know, when I think of your story and many other stories, it really reminds me of in Acts chapter 8 with the Ethiopian eunuch. Mm-hmm. You know, the Ethiopian eunuch, you know, you've got him going down the road. He's in the chariot, and God begins to speak. Who did he speak to? Philip.
Yes,
Philip. And so here Philip is, he's serving the Lord faithfully. He's doing what he's supposed to do. He's actually seeing people come to know Jesus. Revival's happening. Right. And all of a sudden the Lord says, Philip, I want you to take the back road to Gaza. Mm-hmm. And I can imagine Philip was a little like, but you know, Spirit, that's not like the way everybody else is going. You know, nobody's ever on the back road. You know, it's a desert road. But Philip obeyed the Lord, and he began walking the back road to Gaza. And, you know, the amazing thing about that story is Philip never actually made it to Gaza.
Right.
It was all about the process of getting there, that on that back road, on the road he didn't choose, on the road he wasn't planning on going on, is the very place that God was at work, the very place that there was an Ethiopian eunuch that just happened to be in a chariot, just happened to have the scroll of Isaiah opened, reading about the coming Messiah and not able to interpret it. And of course, Philip runs to obedience. He runs to the chariot. He asks the eunuch, you know, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, no, I don't. How can I? Unless someone explains it. And Philip preaches the gospel. And you know, Audrey, I think that in your waiting, that God has been using your back road to Gambia, though we do hope you make it to Gambia. You don't end up in Azotus that like Philip did.
Right.
But that this back road journey that you've been taking, the delays, that God's wanting to teach you some things in the process. What do you believe are some of the biggest things he's been teaching you in the process?
First, he's really been strengthening my faith. What you're talking about, that building endurance, he's teaching me a lot of things in this time. He's teaching me to listen to that still small voice that says, go to the left or go to the right or hold back a little bit. He's also taught me that it's not all about me. Imagine that.
That's good.
But he's doing things in the church there, preparing. He's doing things through my waiting in other people's lives here too. The church there, I've been able to step into a unique place as an advocate. We're doing a campaign to raise money to send resources so they can get rice and feed rice to people. Mm-hmm. And through that, there's actually another church plant in the works that wouldn't have been able to happen otherwise. Right. God just sees so much bigger than we do.
Right, which is amazing, right? You know that had you gone, that advocacy wouldn't have been there.
Right.
The number of people praying for Gambia, the number of people wanting to be a part of what God is doing in this nation. And of course, tell us a little bit about Gambia.
Gambia. It is about 99% Islamic, and they speak English. That's like people's first question to me. What do they speak? And I say, English. I don't have to learn. It's awesome. The people are so beautiful and warming and hospitable and always willing to share whatever they have with you.
Well, and Gambia is one of the smallest nations in Africa. Mm-hmm. It's one of the poorest nations. Mm-hmm. And so right now, COVID-19 has hit that nation very hard.
Right.
They don't have the resources like a lot of maybe larger nations are getting. And so there is a lot of famine happening. And so I think it's incredible that even in this season of waiting, that you didn't wait. Even though you couldn't jump on a plane and go, you were still going here. Share with me a little bit on how you would encourage those that, you know, maybe they're in a similar position as you are. Maybe they you know, we're raising support and planning to go, or maybe, you know, a lot of missionaries have been furloughed home. Mm-hmm. And so they are now back stateside, longing to be in the nation that God has called them to be in. And yet their organizations are asking them to come home and wait until a vaccine's available, until travel bans are lifted, and until it's more secure for them to travel to that nation. And what would you say to them that are in the waiting right now on, well, just what would you say to them?
Embrace it. I would tell them to embrace it, that it's okay to process those normal, natural responses. But the end of Psalm 27 that I shared in my testimony earlier, it says, wait on the Lord, be strong and courageous and wait on the Lord. And so I would encourage them to just submit to that process and ask God, what might he be wanting to teach you in this time? And what kind of person does he want you to become for when it is time? And also, just because you're home, that doesn't mean that the Great Commission is stopped, right?
That's good, yeah.
And so be honest in asking him, how can he use you right where you're at? Because even in your waiting, he's always working.
That's good. And I think that's a word to anyone, whether they're thinking of going as a full-time missionary or whether they're just looking at the circumstances of their life, that right now it seems as though God has wanted the church to remember that he's always at work in the backdrop, that in 2020 that we just came out of, is that God is always in the waiting. And I feel like the church has done a lot of waiting this last year. But I love what you said, is that the Great Commission hasn't stopped. You know, the mandate to make disciples, the mandate to go and to tell, to teach and to train, is a mandate that supersedes pandemics. Mm-hmm. It's a mandate that supersedes travel restrictions, that we can look for the nations even right around us, which is amazing. Something here at All Star that we've begun doing, that as a staff, I know that you have been a part of this, is even going out and we do prayer eating. And so we're engaging the nations as a staff. We go to different international restaurants in our community, and we look for those that maybe they're Lebanese, you know, maybe they are from China, or maybe they're from a part of Africa, and we're engaging with them in an area that they love, which is their food. And as they are serving us and sharing with us their food, we're looking for opportunities to share the gospel and to pray and to bless even the restaurant that we're in. But it's amazing that the nations are right here. And even though we know that we long to be in other nations, and of course, for the Great Commission to be completed, we're going to have to go into all the world, every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. You know, the Bible says that before Jesus comes back, that there's going to be a representative from all of these ethnic language groups around the world, and they will be at least one representative that will be worshiping him. And so I want to encourage you today that, you know, maybe you're in a place of waiting, but God knows and God sees, God hears, and he's with you.
Amen.
And he wants you to look up even in the waiting and recognize he's God of the waiting, just like he's God of the going.
Mm-hmm.
So, Audrey, thank you so much for being with us today. I appreciate you giving your time and sharing a little bit of your story. And I hope that as people have listened, that they're encouraged.
Thank you. Me too, Peggy. It's a blessing.
All right. God bless you guys.